chapter. We have looked at the first half of this chapter, and we're getting into the latter part of the chapter. And what the Apostle Paul does, when you get down to verse 17, he does this every now and then in his writings. It's kind of like he breaks forth in a little doxology. A doxology is like what we sung right at the beginning, and that means, very simply, praise to God. And so that's what we're looking at, is praise to God this morning in verse 17. I want you to notice what verse 17 says, and we're going to go through the end of the chapter. The Word of God says, "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness, unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin, and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The Apostle Paul says in verse 17, "But God be thanked." Now there is much we can think about to praise God for. You think about it, what the Apostle Paul has covered in the book of Romans, in this letter to the Romans. He has talked about how we are all sinners, how we were born into sin, how we were a slave to sin, how sin was our cruel master. And the only realm we knew before we knew Christ was the realm of sin. And so what the Apostle Paul does, as we've read these verses of Scripture, he uses an analogy which all of them could relate to back in that time. And he talks about slavery. Now, if you were in New Testament times, what you would know, if you lived in Rome, there was at least a third of the population were slaves. Now, that's quite a few slaves. Historically, it was recorded they were thinking about making slaves dress a certain way, but then they decided not to because they figured there might be more slaves than there were actually Romans. So therefore, they didn't go that route. It has been recorded that up to maybe half the population could have been slaves. Can you imagine that? Some indentured slaves sold themselves into slavery to pay off debts. So therefore, thinking down that line, just about everybody knew what slavery was in that day and time. All of them were affected by slavery. In that church there, it's a good possibility at least half that church had been slaves. So as he relates to them concerning this, the number one trademark of slavery would be obedience. Slaves were to be obedient to their masters. And what the Apostle Paul talks about in verse 17, he says, "But God be thanked." I found it rather interesting, a Greek word there, that word thanked, is the word charis. Now, if you know what a little bit of Greek, that word charis means grace. But God be graced. All grace is of God. When you think about it, He's the God of all grace. And therefore we know, because He's the God of all grace, we have been told, "For by grace you have been saved. That not of yourselves." It's a gift or grace of God. The only reason that you are saved or a child of God today, it's only because of the grace of God. Therefore, God be thanked. The word thanked is used in a term like in appreciation for the grace of God. We are thankful for God's multiple grace shown unto us. Notice what he says in verse 17, "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin." And then he says, But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Now, we looked at that last Sunday, and we can see what the Word of God is saying here, that you were delivered unto a particular form of doctrine. We even made mention of the fact it's kind of like being poured into a mold of a form of doctrine. As we have been delivered unto or poured into this mold of the doctrine or teaching of Christ, that's what we're fashioned after. We're fashioned after our Lord Jesus Christ. And this comes from a heart that's been changed. And it's God that changes the heart. And once your heart has been changed, what He does, He gives you a heart that's desiring to obey Him. That's why we have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. Listen to what the Word of God says over in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you hath He quickened, or you hath He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Before you came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, you were dead in your sins. You were dead in those trespasses and sins, and because of that, it says, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. You walked like the world. That's because that's the only realm you knew, the sinful world. You walked in accordance, right, hand in hand with the world, according to the prince of the power of the air. In other words, the prince and power of the air, Satan, you were in his realm. He ruled and he reigned in your life. You were a sinner and you could do nothing but sin. There's no way you could please God when you were a sinner. Among whom also we all had our conversation or our lifestyle in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, He quickened us, He made us alive. And what God did, He convicted us of our sins. He gave us a new heart, a heart that was obedient. Now, you know what? That's the mark of a child of God. One who is obedient from the heart. Not one who just conforms outwardly, but his heart has a desire to obey the Lord God. Listen to what it says back in Romans chapter 2. In Romans chapter 2 and down in verse 7, the Word of God says, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, the Word of God says, they obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that works good, to every man that works good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. You see, there is those that are obedient unto righteousness, and there are those, it says, that obey unrighteousness. There are those that obey righteousness. There are those that are rebellious, that are still dead in the sins. What we know as children of God, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ that changes a person's heart. And you know what? We've got to emphasize this at New Life Baptist Church to the point where we're sharing the gospel outside of these four church walls. Because people need Christ. The only way a life is going to be changed is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not through politics. It's not through legislation. It's not through some type of outward conformity, trying to make people conform to who we are. You know what? If all we do is speak to people, I've made this comment, it's been probably a week or two ago, if all we speak to is people who always agree with us, you'll never see lives changed. We must take the gospel to a lost and dying world. We must not be ashamed of that gospel. We've got to be bold in our witness.
Because that is what God uses to change a heart from disobedience to obedience. This heart that's changed, it is marked by an attitude towards sin. If the heart has been changed, there is repentance from sin. And you know what? There is a continual repentance from sin. There is a hatred towards sin. If the heart has not been changed, there is a love for sin. You see, there is an attitude change when it comes to sin. But there's also an attitude change when the heart is changed to obey. There is a love for Christ. There is a love for Him. And we want to keep Him as our goal. As Brother Steve brought out in Hebrews chapter 12, we've got to look unto Him. We've got to keep our vision upon our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you lose sight of the goal, you know what? You're going to mess up. You lose sight of Jesus Christ as you're going through life. Tomorrow morning you wake up, you go to work, you know what? When you wake up and go to work, if you lose sight of Jesus Christ on the job, you're apt to fall into sin. You're apt to start thinking wrong thoughts, doing wrong things, going wrong ways when you lose sight of Jesus Christ. What is your attitude toward Him? Another mark of this changed heart, of an obedient heart, is your attitude toward the Word of God. You know what? There are many, many Christians who call themselves Christians that only dust their Bibles off when it comes Sunday morning. And as our attendance shows this morning, some didn't dust them off this Sunday morning. They need to dust the dust off themselves this Sunday morning, looks like. There is a change when you have an obedient heart. You love the Word of God. You love to feed upon the riches of His Word. Not just on Sunday morning or Sunday night, but through the week, you desire to get in the Word. Man, I pray, how I pray for you that you will desire to feed upon the Word of God. It's God's Word that changes your mind by His Spirit. He uses the Word of God in our lives. What is your attitude toward the Word of God? You know what? Some people reject the Word of God completely as the Word of God. Some people pick and choose in the Word of God. They like certain things, but certain things they don't like. Some people just pay lip service to the Word of God. Sister Brenda sent me a little picture of a diary of a Bible. I thought it was quite telling how the Bible kind of spoke about the owner of the Bible, how neglected that Bible was. In your life, how much do you neglect the Word of God? In verse 17, in chapter 6, the Word of God tells us that those who have been justified, you have obeyed from the heart that form of teaching that you've been poured into. You've obeyed it. You have a heart's desire to do God's will. Now, we know some obey and some disobey. Some are free from sin, and that's what we want to look at this morning. Notice verse 18. Verse 18 says, being then made free from sin. You know what? If we could have this advertisement, if you could go out when you witness, when you talk to people, you know what? You can be free from sin. You can be absolutely free from sin. I didn't say free from sinning. I said free from sin. Notice verse 22. It says the same thing, but now being made free from sin. You know what? There are millions of people that are slaves to sin. Within our small congregation, you know what? You might be sitting beside somebody who is a slave to sin. Serving self, serving self-desires, someone trying to serve someone else. Are you a slave to sin or are you a slave to righteousness? The Word of God tells us in verse 19, I speak after the manner of men. Because of the infirmity or the weakness of your flesh, I'm going to talk to you like You're weak in the flesh, is what Paul's saying. He's given an example of a believer before salvation. Now, I want you to notice what he says in verse 19. For as you have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity. Here is the past tense. I want you to think with me, before you trusted Jesus Christ, what your life was like. The Word of God says, you yielded your members. That means the parts of your body. Different parts of your body you yielded, what does it say? To uncleanness. You know what uncleanness is? It's the inward pollution. It says, and to iniquity. You know what iniquity is? Iniquity is the outward working of lawlessness. You've given over the members of your body to uncleanness, to the working works of unlawlessness. Now, you know what? I could tell you back in my day, I could give you a testimony of my sinfulness. You ever heard anybody give a testimony of what they were like before they trusted Christ? And it sounds like they're almost bragging about the things they did. But you know what? That ought to be to our shame. And we ought not to be bragging about that. Because the Word of God tells us in verse 21, those things we should now be ashamed of. That former way of life, as you yielded your body parts to sin, the Word of God tells us we ought to do in the same way, yield our body parts to righteousness. In the same way that you work out sin in your life as a sinner, work out righteousness in your life. You were a slave to sin, but now you're a slave to righteousness. Notice Paul does not say, yield your inner man. The inner man has been born again. You don't need to yield the inner man. The inner man has Christ living within. But it's your body that gets you in trouble. So you got to yield your body parts to Christ. Remember what the Apostle Paul said over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and down in verse 27. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27, Paul says, but I keep under my body. Or basically what he was saying, he was beating his body down. And he brought it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. In other words, the Apostle Paul knew that in his body dwelt no good thing. That in his body was the cause of much sin. And therefore, he had to beat that old body down every day. These slave masters that we look at, there's sin and there's righteousness. As you've yielded yourself to sin, yield yourself now to righteousness. Sin is a wicked slave master. All you've got to do is go talk to a drug addict. And you know what? Sin is reigning in their lives. Talk to an alcoholic. Go to some of these mission places where they serve meals every day and you can see how wrecked people's lives are. You know what? You can go to it in your everyday job. You can find people that are lost without Christ and you can see how sin is ruining their lives. Both slave masters lead to somewhere. Notice what God's Word says in verse 19. As you've yielded your members servants to uncleanness and iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is what? Death. The end of a life of sin is death. Is what the Word of God tells us. A sinner cannot do anything righteous in the sight of God. He's not capable. He's not able to do anything to please God. He's dead in his trespasses and sins. To the believer, his past is shameful. Where in those things you're now ashamed. I pray to God you're ashamed of the things you did before you come to Christ. If you're not ashamed of that, those ways, you know what? There's not been an attitude change. There's not been a heart change in a life to where you desire to be obedient unto God. You're in the realm of sin. You're in under the reign of sin. What you produce was shameful fruit is what the Word of God says. If you're as a believer, are you ashamed of the sins of your past? If you're not, let me tell you, the end thereof leads to death. Why would you want to return to that? Those shameful ways. Notice here, the Word of God says that when you yield your members to servants of sin, it's iniquity unto iniquity. What that means, very simply, is that when you sin, it leads to more sin. And as you sin, it leads to more sin. And the more you sin, it's leading to death. It's working death in your life. Why would you want to, if you've been delivered from that, return to that? Makes no sense. Matter of fact, it's crazy if you think about it. We are slaves to God. In verse 22, the Word of God says, "But now being made free from sin, and become servants to God." Now, what does the servant to God? You've been free from sin. Sin has no more reign over you. You desire to serve God. You're not under the rule of sin. What does that lead to? If you're free from sin, not free from sinning, but free from its reign, you have fruit unto holiness. Do you hear what I'm saying? In your life, as you're living, you're growing in holiness. If there is no sign of holiness in your life, you've not been born again. There's not been a change of heart. You don't have a heart that obeys that form of doctrine which you've been poured into. If you've been poured into it. But now, being made free from sin, you've become servants to God, you've got fruit unto holiness. Pursue holiness is what the Word of God tells us. Pursue peace without, and holiness without which no man shall see God. You've got to pursue after holiness if you're a child of God. Because where does that end up? If you're pursuing holiness, it ends up to eternal life is what the Word of God says. So one slave master is sin. And if you follow that slave master, the end thereof is death. And you know what? I believe that is a separation from all of God's goodness. But the other slave master is righteousness. And if you're serving Him, you're going to produce fruit of holiness. And that holiness is going to end up in the everlasting life. So by the time as Paul's writing here, he is giving this illustration, you might say, of how we are slaves, one to the other. He gives verse 23. Now I want you to notice verse 23. Verse 23 is probably a verse most of us can quote, because many use it as far as in evangelism. We use it in trying to share the gospel with people. But notice what Paul is using this verse 23. Notice it's in the context. He's talking to a believer. All here, he's talking about sanctification. He's talking about holiness. He's talking about how we're no longer under law, but under grace. We're no longer under sin, the reign of sin, the realm of sin, but we're under the reign of Christ. We're under the reign of righteousness. We're serving God. We're servants of righteousness. And what is it? Verse 23. Notice he says, "For the wages of sin is death." Now, all through chapter 6, Paul's been speaking of the blessings of those that are justified. We're one with Christ. We are to yield to that new life. We were slaves to sins. Now we're slaves to righteousness. And he says, "For the wages of sin is death." For, because, the wages, the word wages, if you were back in Paul's day, and you were a Roman soldier, you would receive wages. Wages were rations. They didn't dump all the rations out on you at one time. They gave it to you as you went along. And even so, the rations of sin is death, is what the Word of God says. We were slaves to sin. And those wages that were being given, death comes by sin. You know, the more you sin, the more you sin. You ever told a little white lie, and then somebody kind of caught you in that little white lie, and you had to tell a little bit more grayer lie? In other words, the white lie turned a little bit darker and a little bit darker. Yeah, you know what happens when you start telling lies? You got to tell lies to cover up the lies. And even so, sin, when it gets a hold of you, it binds you in its cords. And what that does, it leads to death. You know what you might think? Just a little bit of sin, it ain't going to hurt me. Let me give you an illustration. The Kentucky Derby was yesterday. And you know what? I think it was on all day. For 2 minutes. A 2-minute horse race. And it would cover a whole day of coverage. And one of the bigger topics, if you watch TV any, they were talking about the mint julep drink. And I don't know how much a mint julep drink is, and I never drank a mint julep drink, but it probably costs quite a bit of money. And it's an alcoholic drink. Let me tell you something. If you taste just a little bit of alcohol, it always leads to a little bit more alcohol. Just a little bit always leads to a little bit more. You see, that's the way sin is. Just a little bit, and you can add just a little bit more. Sin leads to sin, which eventually works death, is what the Word of God says. Now, the contrast to that, he says, but the gift of God. The word gift is the word charisma. Now, if you were paying attention, if you didn't doze off at the first of the message, the word charis, you remember what that word meant? Grace. It was grace. But the grace of God, it's a free gift of God. The grace of God is what? Eternal life. In other words, that is a present possession. As soon as you trusted Christ, you had eternal life. In other words, right now, you have eternal life. You're going to die someday if the Lord doesn't return first. Your heart's going to stop beating. But you know what? The Word of God says you've got eternal life. That means the body's going to kill over because this is a body of death. It's a body of sin. It needs resurrecting. It needs a glorified status. And let me tell you, you can look at my body and tell it ain't in the glorified status. But I'm going to look at yours. I can tell you yours ain't either. You know what? We need a glorified body, but that's because we're in a body of sin. Here, one day, this body's going to be renewed. But at this present time, it's the inner man that has eternal life. Eternal life, you know what that means? When your body dies, you keep on living. You know what? Christ has taken the fear out of death for the child of God. He's taken that sting of death. And therefore, because we have eternal life, you know what? Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And you know what? If you follow the voice of Jesus, you know where it ends? It ends before Jesus. You continue to follow, you'll be right in front of Him. Here is the gift of God. It's a current status. Eternal life is not talking about duration so much as quality of life. Eternal life. We are with Christ. We are in Christ. And one day we're going to be right in the very presence of Christ. That is the grace of God. Notice it says, it ends this chapter, this grace is through Jesus Christ our Lord. The word Jesus means Savior. Over in Matthew 1:21, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means Savior. You know what? He saves us from our sins. Christ means anointed one. He was anointed of God. Our Lord. Lord is sovereign. He rules, he reigns in the hearts and lives of his people. I want you to get the big picture here. Think with me just for a moment. There are two masters. There is sin, and there is God. There is sin, there is righteousness. There are two ends. One ends in death. One ends in eternal life. There are two hows to get there. How do we get there? The wages are rations of sin. That's how you get to death. You got to work. And you know what? You're going to receive what you work for. The gift of God is something that we receive. You don't have to work for it. You receive the gift of God. That's eternal life. Who is your master? Sin or righteousness? What is your end? Death or eternal life? Are you working for your salvation? You know what? The end is death. Have you received the gift of eternal life? That's grace through Jesus Christ our Lord. This passage started out with grace. It ends with grace. It's all of grace. Salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Do you know Him as your Lord? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord? Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, your word gives us clarity in how we should live our lives and how our lives, if we profess Christ as our Savior, how it should be shown forth, how we should be. We are no longer servants of sin, but we now serve righteousness. Our attitude towards sin should have changed. Our attitude toward Christ should be more devoted. Lord, our attitude toward your word should be a great love for your word, to hear your word, to obey your word from the heart. Lord, if there's not been a heart change in our lives, we ask that you convict. We cry out for your mercy to change hearts and change lives by your glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. Lord, we ask that you work to magnify your name for Christ's sake. Amen. If you would, just simply take